I am the Alpha and the Omega, says our God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Sovereign. Words in Revelation. I know a United Church of Christ pastor, a friend, who is brilliant. This is what I mean by brilliant. When he reads Scripture privately for himself, he reads it in the original languages. He also reads ancient religious literature, the so-called church mothers and fathers, in the original languages. Interestingly, he was raised in a family of fundamentalists. He was himself attending a fundamentalist seminary before being bitten by the liberal bug. Having been infected by liberality, he then got yet another degree at Harvard. But back when he was in that fundamentalist seminary, being a fellow of brilliance, he began looking at the history of biblical manuscripts and also looked at ancient manuscripts in the original languages. Among the things he realized is that there are often hundreds of manuscripts which contain the same passage. Further, you can look at these passages, compare one manuscript to the next, and none of these manuscripts, not one, exactly match the other in what's written. Not one is exactly word for word the same. Hence, it occurred to him that seeking a literal interpretation of Scripture seemed a pretty far-fetched concept. After all, which manuscript should be taken as the one from which that aforementioned literal reading should be gleaned? And so, while at that fundamentalist seminary, he went to a professor because of this obvious fact and asked, "How could Scripture be given a literal interpretation?" The professor had an interesting but unsatisfying answer. The professor said the original manuscript, and only the original manuscript, is what should be granted the ability of being taken in a literal way. My friend suggested to the professor no definitive original manuscripts could be identified. Then the professor nodded and said, "Yes." That was his only response. As I indicated, that was not a satisfying answer. If you get an account on Facebook, when you fill out your profile information, it gives you an opportunity to claim some kind of religious belief. This is what I entered on my profile. "I am a Trinitarian monotheist or a monotheistic Trinitarian." Given that entry, I don't know if the joke I'm about to offer will be funny, only if you went to seminary, but I have always found it hysterically funny. The joke runs like this. There is one question and only one question on the final exam in a Christian theology class. Define God. Give three examples. I, of course, find that funny since, as a final exam in a Christian theology class, it is an invitation to address the basic Christian belief we label as Trinity. And I heard laughs, so you get it. Trinity. Define God. Give three examples. All right. Needless to say, the basis of Christianity is the Trinity. It's what separates Christians from other traditions. But can we, mere humans, actually define God? So here's another challenge. Similar to the define God, give three examples challenge. Define Scripture. Here's my definition. Scripture is an example of the inadequacy of our language. Scripture is an example of our inability to define God, to explain God. Let me put that another way. Words are not reality. Words are only an inadequate reflection of reality. We hear these words in the work known as Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says our God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Sovereign. Throughout this reading, the author describes God, Jesus, and the Spirit. These descriptions have parallels in a variety of Jewish and non-Jewish sources, and therefore would have sounded familiar tones, familiar notes, in New Testament times. Needless to say, this passage is being read today in the season of Eastertide, the celebration of the resurrection. We read this now in part because what emerges with particular clarity in the words is the richness of an understanding of the role of Jesus. Christ is described in terms of the work of ministry performed. Christ is described in terms of the role as a witness of and for God. Christ is described in terms of the present and even future accomplishments of the resurrection. Hence, we also have a description of and for the presence among us of the Spirit. But it is the closing, that Alpha and Omega, that wording, which catches my attention and perhaps our attention. These words are attributed to God and place the whole reading in context. This is God who breathes the first word, the action by which creation came into being. This is God who has and will have the last word, the action by which a new creation will come into being. That ultimate action illuminates and is illuminated by the promise of Easter, by the resurrection. This description catches our attention because while these are mere words, merely a description of God, they speak about action. Action taken by God. The action of creation and the action of new creation. What I take away from that is simple. While words themselves are static, mere descriptions, action is not static. Indeed, what I take away from this is if God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, then these words are merely an attempt at describing a God of action, a God who calls us not through words or with words, but calls us to action, the reality of action. Put another way, this uses inadequate language in an attempt to describe the reality of action, the reality of action by God, whose very being is illuminated by and through action. In a couple of minutes, we shall dedicate, bless the quilts made by the Shenango Peacemakers Quilt Group. As was said earlier, the quilts will be given away. As was said earlier, this is a ministry of love. I want to suggest what the peacemakers do is not simply about making quilts. This is about taking action. This is about the reality of action. And the very action being taken is an action because the action expresses love. Indeed, we often describe love as a feeling. I think that is, at best, a poor description. When love is real, love is not only or simply a feeling. Love is action. And since real love is action, love always defies our ability to fully describe it. Well, that brings us back to God, who is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. How can we describe God? We cannot describe God. Mere language is not up to the task of describing God. But we can, I think, engage God, interact with God. How? We engage God, interact with God when our own actions can be described as loving, when we act in love, when we act with love. That's what our friends, the peacemakers, do. They take action to express love. That love displays its reality in the action of making quilts. So let us do something similar. Let us express our love, not in mere words, but in the reality of action. Amen.